Welcome to the Uncomfortable Truth podcast, hosted by the rock star of consulting, Alan Weiss. Be prepared to have your beliefs challenged and your behaviors questioned.
Welcome back to the Uncomfortable Truth. This episode is on pressure. There was a great, great basketball player. He passed away, I think, about a year ago, named Bill Russell. Bill Russell was the center for the Boston Celtics, and he won perhaps a dozen championships with them and for them. Just a fabulous guy, and he performed well in tough championship games. His opponent was often Wilt Chamberlain, for example. Bill Russell wrote a book once called Second Wind, and Bill Russell said that the greatest indicator of a true champion was his or her ability to perform well under the greatest pressure situations. As I record this, we're reaching the end of March Madness, the NCAA men's and women's finals in basketball. And this year, the women's bracket is as exciting as the men's. And these teams, all of which are excellent, and all of which have superb players on their benches, sometimes fall victim by 15 or 20 points to an opponent, even in this stage of their success. And that's because some play better under pressure than others. There's this horrible myth that people fear public speaking more than death. It led to Seinfeld's great observation when he was delivering a eulogy in his sitcom that supposedly he had more to worry about than the guy in the box, he said. And the fact is, public speaking isn't all that difficult, but we make it so because we get ourselves all worked up because of the pressure that we feel that people are going to critique us, that we won't do well. I coached a man once who was an excellent speaker. However, he only wore dark blue suits and clothing because he perspired so much that he didn't want it to show when he took the stage. And I said to him, "Do you perspire throughout your speech?" He said, "No, only for about the first 5 minutes or so, maybe 10, but after that I'm fine." And I said, "Does this great perspiration happen to you every time that you speak?" And he said, "Well, no, not every time." And I said, "Well, when is it that it doesn't occur?" And he said, "Well, if I'm late, or somebody grabs me and needs to check my introduction, or they want to check the lighting or the sound, and suddenly I'm introduced and I have to rush onto stage, it doesn't happen." And I said, "Your issue is you're thinking too much about the speech ahead of time. When you're distracted, you're not thinking about it. You don't get worked up. You don't perspire. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to arrive so that you go on very quickly. And I want you to wear earpieces so you can listen to music you like or a comedy album or something. And don't engage anybody. And certainly don't stand by yourself. Listen to your stuff. When you're introduced, pull out the ear pods, and go right on stage." That solved his problem. Pressure problems are self-induced. At General Electric once, where I was one of their featured speakers, when I arrived early for a new program, I was at the third day of a five-day program. As I walked at about 8 a.m. to the conference room, a guy saw me, a participant, and said, "You must be our speaker today." I said, "I am." He said, "Well, good luck, because you'll never be able to beat the guy who was here yesterday. He was the best I ever heard." Now, this didn't send me, racing to the restroom, nor crying in the hallway. I imagine sometimes people say to others that about me today. But I said to myself, "I am well prepared, I will do my best, and that's all I can do." So you prepare well, you show up, you do your best, and you go home. And that's basically it. But because of ego fragility, because we sometimes feel like imposters, we fear critique, even by people who have no right to critique us. Unsolicited feedback, which is always for the sender. You can ignore it. I remember watching a high school basketball game that was televised on a television network in New Jersey. And at the end of the game, a team was down by 2 points. There was no time left, and their star player was fouled trying to make a shot. So he had 2 points, two shots, and he could tie up the game. But if he missed either shot, they were done because there was no time left. And I saw, as he lined up to take his free throw, one of his teammates exhorted him to do well. He tried to give him some motivation. And the player on the foul line who was shooting winked at him. Under all this great pressure, he winked at him, made the two free throws. They went into overtime and his team won. I always admired his grit working that way under pressure. And so it's not nerves for me, but it's anticipation. I can't wait to get on the stage. I can't wait to get into a prospect's office. I can't wait to deliver a presentation or engage in a discussion. I love what I do. And that's the secret. If you love what you do and you don't feel people are there to critique you or to judge you, you're going to do just fine. But you must ignore that unsolicited feedback. I was delivering a keynote in Manchester, in the United Kingdom. And after I was done, I was sort of rushed into a reception where I would normally not want to be, but the crowd swept me in. And sure enough, a guy comes up to me who claims he's a speech coach and said, "Would you like some critique on your speech?" I said, "Is there anything in what's left of the British Empire that could stop you?" Well, that went over his head. And he said to me, walking around, "When you walk around the stage like this, I can't focus on what you're saying. But when you stand still," and he planted his feet at this point, "when you stand still like this, then I can understand you. Do you know what that's called?" I said, "Yes, a learning disability." Unsolicited feedback is always for the sender. Ignore it. Just listen to feedback you solicit from trusted sources. It's not a cosmic event when you make a mistake, when you make an error. Everybody makes errors. Everybody makes mistakes. It's not that it's happened. It's what you do about it. And don't get yourself all worked up. I actually saw a posting on LinkedIn the other day from a guy who said, "I'm having trouble this morning perfecting the draft of the post I want to make later in the day." He's making a draft of a post on social media. I post on social media by typing in what I want and moving on. I mean, can you imagine? How much stress do you want to create for yourself? And the problem is, stress masks talent. The more pressure you have, the more stress, and the harder it is for your talent to shine through. The less pressure that you allow, the less stress, and the more your talent will carry the day. So you have to maintain perspective, you know? I always use this example. My father was a paratrooper in World War II. He volunteered for the first parachute regiment ever formed in the United States. Volunteered for this. It's the only way they take people. And he jumped out of, at the time, cargo planes at around 500 feet with one chute at the time, until they perfected this. But he was in New Guinea defending Australia, and he jumped into Japanese guns, firing up at these guys floating down. My father lived to 100 years old, and he spent 2 days in the hospital and passed away. And I asked him once, wasn't he worried about jumping out of that plane into enemy fire? And he didn't like to talk about the war, but he said, "You just assumed it wouldn't be you, and you get on with your life." So ask for respected peers' feedback. And in the meantime, while you're delivering a speech, working with a client, helping people to improve, I have one final suggestion. Count your blessings.
You've been listening to The Uncomfortable Truth with Alan Weiss. For free access to Alan's newsletters, audio and video resources, and for information about his global events and coaching communities, please visit alanweiss.com. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith.